Good morning. Welcome back to the Explicit Measures podcast with Tommy, Seth, and Mike. The app's doing some weird stuff. Didn't quite show the video intro right, so we'll see what happens. We'll see how if everything turns out okay. All right. Everything's working smoothly. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, gentlemen, and a happy Tuesday to you.
I was a little worried that I was going to have to run with this.
Run with what?
I was like, hey!
Oh, you only saw yourself?
I only saw myself, and I'm like, all right, I guess we're doing this. I'm going to have to argue with myself.
So if there was ever a point in time when we didn't think we needed to rely on each other, those are the times.
That's
where
the moment.
Oh, it's just me. Oh, hi.
How you doing, guys? Ready for the next 58 minutes?
Oh, it's funny.
No really big announcements, I guess, right now or today. I guess there's a couple, like, you know, pieces across the Microsoft blog. I mean, a lot of the big announcements I think have already occurred. They occurred during the Fabric conference. That's when Microsoft kind of announced the many main things. We don't really have any major news announcements. I haven't seen any too many big blogs or anything that came out here recently. So with that, we'll kind of just roll her into our main topic today. We're just going to talk about kind of where do we see Fabric? Where do we see the interaction of AI? And what does the future of consulting kind of look like in lieu of these other, I guess, new technologies that are coming to place inside Fabric and in our Power BI experiences? What's going on there? And how does that going to affect maybe if you're consulting or you're doing consulting around those things? How does that work for you? And I guess I want to be clear here, too. This is not an episode just for consultants, right? I mean, you, in some way, are a consultant to other teams or potentially inter-organizational. You're helping other departments. So there is kind of a, yes, you're not getting paid like an hourly wage to kind of get that stuff done. But in some cases, you are consulting in your own company to help other teams or other people out. So I just wanted to add some context there on how I'm thinking about the word consulting. Tommy, any other thoughts on how you want to frame the topic for today?
No, I think that was a big point because I was going to say, if you are a central BI team, the only difference is you don't bill hourly and you have a lot less email addresses compared to being a consultant. There's obviously a few other things, but no, this is a mailbag question that came into us.
Yes.
A lot more mailbags we're getting from you guys. Still not a lot of names. So we want to attribute all these great questions to you guys.
Is the name even on the form? Is that something? Are we screwing up?
Because we may need that though too. So
okay, yeah, maybe that's what it
people
is.
People know how to do shift
that way. That way, line kind of thing, that way, so. People just start doing anonymous.
Anonymous.
But I think this pertains very well though in terms of where we're at in the age and the era and where we're moving with Fabric. I mean, we're shifting so fast with Fabric. We're shifting so fast with AI. I'll pause there because I think it's time for NPR Seth to come out and at least phrase the question with the mailbag.
Yes. So we have our mailbag voice. Mailbag voice, this, please.
This read is our mailbag. Great mailbag voice.
Yeah, but I mean to reiterate on to Tommy's point, right? This is a mailbag, so this topic comes from an audience member, and we were happy to pick it up because it is very brilliant. So it's a short one for all you mailbag listeners out there that love these conversations. This one is not several paragraphs long, so you don't have to deal with my voice for very long. Hi there. I'm a BI consultant. Sorry. Hi there. I'm a BI consultant. I have a question. With Microsoft Fabric and the recent developments in AI, what is the future of Power BI consulting and services? And that's where we jump off.
It's a heavy load.
Into the ether. Before we dive into what is the future of consulting? Why do businesses need consultants? Why do businesses use consultants?
You're asking the question in a pure consulting kind of space, right? You know, not like an internal resource that's kind of helping other teams. You're talking about pure
because if we're going to talk about. Yeah, if we're talking about the future of consulting, like part of that is why do businesses use consultants?
So I think there's two reasons. And I just watched a video from Ike Ellis, who is also on YouTube, but he's actually out of San Diego area. He doesn't have a lot of views or hits on his videos, but his stuff is very relevant. And he just did a whole pricing and consultants kind of spiel about what's going on, like how does this work, how you should price things as a consultant and what's a good deal and what's not a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
I like his perspective on things, but it feels like there's two, in my experience, there's like two main initiatives that require consultants. There are skills that we know we don't have, and we need to go hire someone who has them that is external to the company. So I'm borrowing a skill set to get something done or accomplished.
Yep.
And then I would hope with that engagement, the skills of the consultant are somehow getting worked into the team that they're working with, right? Producing some documentation, working with them, providing some education. So the goal, I think, is hire the knowledge, bring it in, use that as a baseline to help educate internal people. I think that's a great way to go. And I think the second one is you're out of people. There's an initiative that is important enough that you need to get something done, and you just don't have enough bodies to get the work complete. So you're like, mm-hmm. I know I don't need someone forever, because if you knew you were going to be able to do a project and you're going to need someone for a long period of time, you'd hire them, right? If you had the budget, you'd say, look, we're going to need this person here. They're going to support for a long time. But if you're doing we just need some effort right now to get something started, we can maintain it. We just need, the starting point is hard. So we need someone to come in who's already done it. Let's buy what they have, or buy the time, the effort to produce the thing. That's how I see it. I don't know. Any other options?
No, I think for me, and without being salesy at all, I think people are looking for a hyper-focused war chest. Because you have a consultant who, like at least every consultant I know in the BI space, or you can also translate that to MVPs, they're going to spend multiple hours learning more than they need to. And they're working in so many other areas. So from a client coming in, they're like, hey, we need someone who's either been here before, has spent more hours than humanly possible, and just really, I think, loves the tool. And I think that's what you usually find with a consultant is like, oh, I can pick from here. This is your situation. Well, I've been in this space, or I've seen this situation multiple times. So let's take a look and evaluate the people that you have, the situation that you're in. Let me grab from my war chest and say, yep, this is a good fit. Let's try to implement this. This doesn't work. And I think you just get those people who are on the extremes. Again, I think in our space especially, I think you say that for all three of us, but my gosh, the amount of knowledge and time that we spent, Mike, this is something that you told me is, yes, all the stuff around Power BI, there's no college degree. You don't go to McKinsey for Power BI.
Correct.
But it's not the hours that someone actually spends and the amount of time that they've devoted, both from the experience, knowledge, and skill, that really makes up, I think, where the consultant comes into play.
What do you think, Seth? You asked a question. I'm curious. Like, So Tommy and I are consultants. So we have a bit more of a unique profession. You were a consultant previously. You did that for a number of years.
I have the experience.
Have the experience.
Being a consultant. Yes.
But right now you're at the lens of I'm in a company who may want to hire consultants, or you choosing to hire internally. So did we hit the use cases on how you would perceive why you would want to hire a consultant?
I think you nailed them all, right? Like specialized skills. You're coming in. Yep. There's an extra boost of productivity or a major initiative. But at the same time, like the extra boost is also where I would, I don't look at consultants the same way I look at contractors, right? To me, contractors have a skill set, but those are people I plug into already like driven initiatives within the team. We just need the extra boost.
Yeah.
Consultants, I look for the other two, which is specialized skills, or kind of thought leadership direction, because we're looking. And then that dovetails into like what Tommy said, which is more of that outside perspective, right? Like we know a lot of things about our company, but hey, we want to know what are the best ways to implement Fabric, right? Or the next gen of things, where do we need to go? Does that spool up an R&D project or the net, you know, level of things? And that's where I think top tier consultants or consultants that are engaged deeply all the time in continued learning. And you can, well, I should say, I can tell, but it's hard. I think there's that distinction where you try to suss that out and understand like, what is the experience level of the people coming in and giving outside perspective, because the outside perspective sometimes is invaluable especially when you work in the same place all the time or whatever.
Yes.
So
cross industry, like a couple industries you're a part of that you're like, oh yeah, I've seen this before. It's very similar to this other industry that seems to be doing something similar, those kind of things.
So to take that though, I would say that my experience at like I represent the people who aren't consultants right now, but do consulting in the business. I still,
okay.
Like, my experiences as a consultant have forever changed how I will ever work as an FTE, because I still act like a consultant.
Yeah.
At least in my mind, right? Yep. You have to deal with, obviously there's a lot more
political games at the company,
part of an organization, but at the same time, it doesn't change how you can see impacts being made by your work as a consultant in an organizations, and the fact that the perspectives are fantastic because you get a lot of breadth of, oh, you know, this company, same technology stack, very similar, slightly different, but like there's repeated patterns across companies. And I think that's a very eye-opening experience because it lets you, so peeking underneath the covers here for everybody that has never consulted, right? Like your things in a company are very similar to what like challenges in other companies, and everybody like level, each company is at different levels. Some are further along on the journey. Some are a little bit further behind. The perspective gives you like, oh, I can see this linear, like where you're at. I'm going to engage here, but know that like, it's pretty standard. It's like, it's the same stuff in many different places.
That's a good point. And so, at least from the present tense, and then we can move forward, is the transition for me to go from FTE to the own gig wasn't as challenging as I thought. I think dealing with clients, because being a centralized team and kind of always living in that space, I mean, you're dealing with fires. You're dealing with, you know, the pressures from each department who have their own goals, and constantly you have to think about the other situations. How does this work for the people here? So, like I said, the biggest difference for me is I just have a lot more email addresses that I have to handle.
Yeah, and I would say like one of the other challenges of FTE versus consulting is, you as a consultant typically you're hyper focused on the net new, but like the project. It's the thing.
Yes.
And when you're an FTE, it's very likely the thing and maintain all the other stuff that's going on.
Yes. Right? Yeah, right?
There's always the added responsibility of operation of the existing work developed and created. Yeah. And that becomes a challenge with slowing down and why you need an extra boost sometimes.
I think it's a very valid point. And I think also I'll add to that is there is a lot of political headwinds potentially on your projects that come with companies in general.
Sure.
And so I think as a consultant, especially being an outside entity, right, you can say things to the company that they may not want to hear, but you can say, I've observed, and then you can kind of like land some kind of truth moments on here. Like, hey, I've observed, we don't have a really strong center of excellence. This I have seen in other companies that don't add value and potentially will distract you from things. And sometimes people pick up on it and run with it. And yeah, that's a good point. At least we should try and implement that. One thing I will also note, when I spent some time as an employee and I was the one, or my company was the one, not my company, but the company I worked for was hiring in consultants. And I got so annoyed because I was like, these consultants come in and they ask us all the questions, the employees, the people that are doing the work, they ask us all the questions. And I regurgitate like, here's what I think we should do. This is a great way of going. This is a problem. This is where we have friction. Da, 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 da. I would tell them, the consultants, here's what's going on. The consultants would then go away, repackage everything up into like this PowerPoint slide deck, and then regurgitate literally what we said back to the company. And the leadership is, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we should do that. Oh, yeah, that's a big struggle we've always had. And then all of a sudden, things start happening because the consultants came in and said it. And this is
mind-boggling.
Well,
do you know what this reminds me of?
It is what it is, but like it to me, there's this like, so let me just finish my thought here and I'll give it back to you. The thought here is they're saying the same thing your existing employees already have said it, but because you're paying them a lot more money to come in and say something like this, or they present it in a slightly different way, or they're like, well, my other experience has told me, and then what I observe from you is this, and you hear this like, oh yeah, So like, sometimes it feels like you don't always need consultants. Listen to your people. So anyways, that's another side, whole side conversation. You were going to say something, Seth?
It's yes, I am. And it's probably going to get me in trouble, but that's okay. is this reminiscent, guys, of anything that you as a husband say?
Oh boy. I'm not going to touch that one.
No. Honey, you look absolutely gorgeous today. You're just saying that because you're my husband. Like it doesn't matter as much, right? As opposed to, and now don't get me wrong, like these are niceties and things that
yes.
My wife and I have had these conversations where it's like, no, it means something, Seth. But you know, when somebody else says it, and I think, like, to me, I'm chuckling because this is where, hey, you know what? You're an FTE, but your opinion, it matters. But maybe not as much as consultant Mike.
Well, Mike's talking about the ultimate consultants get away with the just saying in the professional world.
You do.
And for example, if I said, Mike, I really don't like what you said today. I'm just saying. All of a sudden, it's like, well, someone else must have said it too. And that's what consultants can do too. They go, listen, your COE is kind of terrible. Just saying. And then all of a sudden, it's okay. So the consultants get away with a lot.
So
yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, I think you do. Like, I've also seen occasions where the consultants want the client to be happy. And so, like, again, you're here to solve a problem. You're here to make something go. Like, you're here to deliver something, right? So I've also had the observation of, like, the bait and switch. You get the salesy, really smart, knows everything person coming in, the lead architect. And then, you know, project starts and, like, okay, well, now we need to take the lead architect and then you need to go find the next job. And so you get swapped out with people that are coming in that are not as knowledgeable or overviewing the content.
I wouldn't say bait and switch because it depends. Are you getting the outside perspective and the extra boost if that's what you wanted?
True.
Or do you need the outside perspective and specialized skills only?
That's true.
Right? And sometimes it's a mix of specialized skills, knowing the clearest path forward to set the architecture, to set the path, to set the roadmap, and then you have the extra boost behind your team, right?
True.
So, like,
true.
Technically, I think there's a trade-off. But if we're going to switch, can we switch gears? If we're going to switch gears from, like, business need, right? Let's talk about, like, future state, because that's where the question was. I just wanted to establish, because I'm going to come back to it probably, what is the current needs of business, and then where do we end with that? But how are Fabric and recent AI advancements poised to transform the Power BI ecosystem? Because I think that's where more of this question is focused. Like, how is the future of BI or Power BI consulting and services going to change?
Well, I think one thing I feel like this is just a general observation. I think a lot of companies right now are hearing the buzzwords of AI and trying to figure out where they can put in some AI. Every single random program you sign up for, there's some level of AI attached to it somewhere. Everyone's adding something that's a bit more magical to their program, and they're using some level of either it's smart math or it's some kind of, you know, interesting thing, but they're calling it AI and jumping on that. We jumped on the bandwagon. Tips Plus has AI generation for wireframes. So upload your images, and then we use AI to kind of, like, you know, figure out where the visuals should go on the pages. Like, so we decided that that's a good thing because it's supposed to shorten your time to delivery of stuff, whatever that thing is, right? And so I feel like there is this need from companies to say, look, we're working on AI. We think we need to do more things with our data. We're ready to, we want to position ourselves to leverage AI with our data to add more value to our company and our customers. I think that's the high level goal. In that statement, there's nothing wrong with that statement. I think what's wrong with it is, I think people don't grok or understand the size of effort to get clean data to make AI work. And so I think a lot of companies are more foundational in, we're still trying to figure out where to grab and put all the data first so that we could even give it to someone who could actually go do more of the machine learning and the AI and the whatever the heck else you want to do.
I think that's very similar to the story that's happening with Fabric too. There's just so much of a focus on the technology. We need to adopt the technology. We need to adopt the technology, but people don't have the grasp on the skills or the story of how their data is flowing. I want to phrase, at least for myself, the AI conversation, because this is really broad, right? Because when you say AI and organization, mm-hmm. you talk about the development, the coding, LLMs, you can talk about the prompting, the systems. I really see the AI for the consultant and AI as the service for business intelligence, in the same way that if you had Venn diagrams for everything in BI, there's a Venn diagram between business intelligence, data visualization, business intelligence, data engineering, business intelligence, Power BI. There's these Venn diagrams of the specialized skill. And if I were to take the business intelligence AI, I'm actually going to take less of the development and the coding and what's Copilot. And I'm going more around how does the prompt engineering, how does the flow of being able to ask questions, not just about your data, but for the business intelligence team to implement easier ways to get scoping, discovery, calls, and to answer questions about their data around the organization. That's the skill set that I see organizations, maybe they don't know they need yet, but I think that's going to be where that overlap is between AI and BI. And Mike, I think you hit it on the head. People are looking at the technology, but what does AI run on? How many times have we said that? It runs on good data, clean.
Hopes
data.
And dreams is what it runs on right now.
Look at every giant LLM model on Hugging Face. What's the other side besides the model? It's the database. How large that database is. And
I want to jump in here really quick. You said a word, Hugging Face. I think a lot of our audience doesn't know what Hugging Face is. And actually, that sounds awkward when you say it. Out of context.
Of course, I've been on it too many times. It's normal now. So huggingface.com, you can download, utilize any model, text to text, image to text, LLMs. It's a huge space for open source models. Kind of like GitHub for AI, so to speak.
Yes, and it's huggingface.co is the website. Yeah. And it's like a collection of, so I believe this is a spot where like code lives potentially. So there's code to help you train a model. Mm-hmm. And then there's code that actually has like a model or some sort of, and they have like a lot of different things. Like you want to do things with computer vision or natural language processing or something with audio. This is a website where all these models or trained pieces of code have been, you know, publicly set down. It's a collection of a lot of things. So that way you have a central place to kind of like search for, try stuff. We used a little bit of Hugging Face for some of the AI generation for visuals on pages. We started here a little bit looking for awesome. Would things here be able to be used?
So yeah, and the last thing else, I'll go and then I'll get your guys at least thoughts on it, is I think for the AI BI convergence, it's very much going to be how can I create that GPT or that custom interface where someone can ask questions about from the BI team or get some questions about their data is going to be the skill set that's going to be required or requested.
So I think this is good though, but I'm not sure where, so I'm trying to think of like the intersection of consulting and AI based things. And so when I think of AI, I'm thinking of companies implementing AI to help them produce something more, right? One area that I think is a really great place that AI is really winning right now is like creative image production, right? You're doing a marketing blurb, you're going to be selling something, right? You can provide a prompt to the AI and say, I'm going to sell something like this and provide me an image that looks like that. I think there's a lot of really interesting things that are coming out from that as well. I think those areas are very relevant. So if you're a consultant in those spaces, it would behoove you, I guess, to learn those technologies. Because if someone's coming to you and asking you, hey, I need a marketing campaign. Well, great. You've already got a prompt that helps you build a majority of that. That you can run that through, and that saves you time to produce the output that you need to go give back to the customer. So that is where I would see a portion of consulting stuff come from. There's other places too, where I think mainly where my feelings go with AI are, you know, where can companies implement things with AI? Where is it adding a lot of time and helping their employees? I feel like right now, code-based things are where AI excels from an internal company perspective. You know, I'm writing things in VS Code. I'm writing applications. I'm writing DAX. I'm doing M. But I feel like those are great opportunities for AI to support the existing team. Whether or not your consultant uses that or not, I don't know. I think that's internally, that's how I'm thinking about it. But there's probably other places where AI can be placed.
So you're saying more, not so much how does the consultant as a service do AI, but the consultant as utilizing AI for their services. Is that what you're saying? Because I hear that and I would agree. I would tend to agree with that.
I think part of it is being equipped to use that. So to your point, Tommy, like, I think that's a part of it. I think in general, people should learn how to use AI. And there's areas where I think it makes sense. Where I'm also potentially going with this is, do we really need consultants now? And can the internals of a company implement AI in a way that they don't need to hire that external marketing firm anymore? They can build their own prompting and learn it. And internally now, they can prompt what they need to get AI to produce what they want. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there for companies to start not needing consultants, but instead implementing AI solutions that would help them keep those costs lower. Because an AI is going to cost you substantially less than a consultant to show up. I mean, your most expensive asset in a company, I think, are the people primarily, especially in digital companies. And there might be some like capital expenses for some businesses, but the people you typically are your most expensive thing that you're hiring into a company.
So in terms of the question I had, like how are Fabric and AI poised to transform BI? I think we are hitting them all. And delving into what AI currently is assisting us with, right? It right now, and one that's missing, one I think that is missing that Fabric is doing, that I see Microsoft doing that others are not, is consolidating data, mm-hmm. right? Because in order for all of these AI things to work, you need the large data consolidated in an area where you can start to make sense of it. And I think that they're doing that. One like Delta Tables, like they're streamlining the storage of analytical data. Where we are seeing advancements right now are faster development, right? We're getting some speedy tools, right? Like describe mm-hmm. them however you want. Yep. They're shortcuts to a lot of manual work that we've had to do.
Yep.
Just code in general, right? No longer am I going to Google all the time for like, oh, what does that function do? Oh, like there are co-pilots, right? There are things that help us build code faster to do the things we want to do with data. And I think that's ultimately like where we're seeing AI be implemented. But if you guys think about what is the buzzword mean for the lay business person, like for the rest of the audience that aren't as geeky as us, right? Like, what is AI for business intelligence in the future? What does that look like? Like not looking at like the stepping stones that we're kind of in right now, but like I think where this question drives me is, what does that future look like? And I get there by saying, well, what does the layperson think about AI and business intelligence? Meaning,
if you could refine your question, because I think there's two ways to take that. Is there's an ideal?
If I'm a business user, yeah. Right? All I look at is the artifacts that are like currently take Power BI. All I interact with is the report. What does the future look like for me? Or what is going to be pitched to me, right? That that we would need to get working.
I think the layperson's expectation of where this is going is that ability to ask questions and get the information quickly on what they need. There's going to be that, in a sense, circumventing the report or clicking in on three things just to say, hey, what are my sales? Can you tell me what I'm expecting to get? Who are my best accounts or who may be my best accounts? Right. So some of the technology already exists with machine learning, but it's going to be that ability to interact and the ability to ask easier questions with your information than is currently available.
I think for the business user, it's going to be one of these areas of like, it's supplementing your existing tooling to support faster things, right? For example, like I can't stand making slides. Everyone knows I don't really like making slide presentations. I do, you know, for my church, I build a bunch of slides and sometimes I present inside our user group, our live group inside church.
You do with Power BI.
And my PowerPoint slides that I do for like It's literally like white pages with words on it. Like it's so uninteresting to look at. However, like I can put the content on the slides. I would rather like have the AI come through and say, I'm going to make this whole thing pretty. I'm going to stylize all the things that you've done. So that it's like, you know, white text on a colored background or white text with some interesting things on the, like, to me, there's a lot of remedial things that I feel like I'm doing that could be just done better with some AI to kind of like give me lots of selections of things that I can pick from and then produce the output. So, you know, you said, where does business intelligence and AI sit, Seth? I think the question is very good. If you give me my crystal ball and say, where do we put this as a very large task? Well, what does this look like many years down the road? I think you start talking to the AI to have it, you basically bring it piles of data, you add relationships to said data, and the model should be able to build itself. There should be things in here that are just very common. Like, again, SQL BI has done a great job. There's a lot of DAX patterns that occur, right? I should be able to talk to an AI. I should be able to have every numerical, like if I get the columns defined right, these columns are numbers, these columns are not. I should be able to talk to an AI and the AI should be able to spit out 30 measures. Here's all the basic measures, sum of, average of, da, da, da. That should happen like instantly and you should be able to use that. It should be able to go, you know, again, they're doing some things right now at Microsoft with Power BI right now where you're saying, you know, ask it a question. It's able to define on a page. It says, here's the visuals on this page. I can write a summary for you on that page. So I would think there would be more questions or general questions that could be asked against the data. And then what will happen is the model will build its own relationships between tables. It will create its own measures and it will then produce tables or visuals to output information for you and say, here's like the same way that ChatGPT or does it in, you know, Google, Bing Chat, whatever the thing is, Copilot in Bing, right? You ask it a question. Here's what I think is the answer. And then it provides like reference notes as to why this is true. That I think is where we would want things to go. Are we there yet? Probably not.
And I think we're talking about the base technology. And as I frame this around, where would the consultant come in? Or more importantly, where would the organization or that layperson find frustration? I think initially with this technology is it's not going to do exactly what they want. And just like we talk about BI culture or data culture, I think there's going to be an AI culture. I think the consultant's going to come in this hyper-focus, being able to take these toolings that the technology will be available, but it's going to be very basic. It's going to be a foundational technology, not everything for your organization. How can we get these prompts? How can we get these technologies already available to wait for what the organization is expecting? Because if I'm asking for sales, there's really no technology that's going to do that without some customization around that organization's data. And I think we're going to find, oh yeah, look, the technology is available, but no one knows how to engineer that or no one knows how to customize that so it just works, so to speak. That's where I see the consultant coming in where, yeah, we're going to work with your data, but we're also going to work with these, whatever technology that you have to ask questions. And we're going to make sure it's weighted for the sales department, the marketing department. Which data are you looking for? What's important to you? Because we know none of that technology just works.
Yeah. I think one of the other things that the future potentially holds that we haven't talked about is how I think there's a real possibility that AI starts making decisions on its own, right? Like we put it through batteries of, you know, these models, these things. I want, you know, better, more accurate predictive forecasts, right? I want these things and, you know, to drive into AI making the simple decisions, because we've talked about like the tooling itself, right? Allowing us to make like build the things faster. But I think eventually it's like, okay, yeah, Mike, to your point, build the things faster. But I also like, here's the outcome I want. I want you to decide between these two paths or three or four or 500 and give me the best one or give me the output of the top 10 best ones. And that's very interesting because that is going to require a whole lot of work to ensure that the model or the AI is producing the expected outputs and why, right? And that's where I think a lot of a lot more analysis and understanding from individuals is going to be absolutely required. But at the same time, like, if I look at the complexity of business intelligence, and I say, we talk about this all the time, we get yelled at because we're finicky about roles, right? Like, what do we do as BI developers? You cross the spectrum of data engineering all the way up to business conversation, right? That ecosystem of data is still an unknown artifact in the business, by and large, like how that all happens. So that's why I asked the question the way I did, is what does AI and BI look like for people who have no idea what we do? Yeah. It is the chatbot. It's the thing that I expect that in the future, I'm going to have a chatbot and I can ask it anything I want, anything in sales. And I what comes out of it has to be the right answer. Sometimes. Yeah. It has to be the right answer. And if you think about, I guess, just the amount of work that it goes in that we still have to manually do, but still has to be done on some level to structure data, to run it through its, analyze it, transform it, certify it, validate with the business that these are the calculations that mean these things. And we produce a report where we have to justify that. Now you throw in all of the other ways in which we potentially need to integrate, still need to build these things, still need to go through all these processes. Like, those pieces aren't going away. It's just an automated computer that we train is going to hopefully in the future, and I think it will, solve a lot of that for us. But it still requires somebody to understand that all of these things are working as we would expect them to. So I think, is it going to change? Is the job of a business intelligence professional going to change? Yeah, some of it's going to be a lot faster, a lot easier. But at the same time, like, if I have one trustworthy metric that's coming out of an output, regardless of who is asking or how, I can't have Betty in sales going, give me the sum of sales, and Frank in marketing going, give me the sum of sales, and two metrics come out, or them not understand that those are specific differences and it's agreed upon within the organization. Like, so when I look at it from the optics of how does business interact with the insights and the data that we are already taking a ton of time in developing, or trying to get to the point where we can produce those insights, I think the same problems exist. The only difference is more organizations either can get there or get themselves in trouble faster.
I want to hyper focus on something you mentioned, because I think this is the real overlap between both of these, call them different industries, but man, they're gonna be a lot of overlap. You said about, show me that predictive sales. Well, in order for people to make that jump to assume and really rely on that, it's the same problem we have now with data, and it's trust. And I think that's going to be the biggest barrier to entry when it comes to whether it's in your data or it's into that random, your own chat box that you have. It's trusting that information, that output. We still struggle with this now. And I can think furthermore, the idea with the different sales, I think there's going to be a further elevation of the semantic model in terms of its importance of a single model, because us as a BI worker, man, we're going to have to really focus on which columns and fields and metrics are weighted in that box, in that model. That's going to be a huge, and I think that's going to be on the BI team or the BI consultant.
See, I feel like, I hear what you're saying, and Seth, I really agree with your point with, like, you know, when there are important decisions, like, there's got to be someone looking over what is coming out of the AI and saying, does this make sense? Are we really going to make decisions? Like, if we're going to hire more people or we're going to fire more people, we need real solid information to, like, make those really strong business decisions. I totally agree with that. But on the other hand, I'm looking at this going, like, the AI is just not good enough yet to understand which of my columns are important enough to me to make sure that I'm writing report. Like, so like to me, there's this whole idea of like, how do we educate the AI on what does it need to have in order for it to be able to produce good insights or good things back for us? And so one of them is like, look, we know that there's this date table. We know that there's going to be all these like, you know, cumulative sum over a year. Like it does this weird stuff like, oh, did you know that sales are higher when you cumulative sum them and the month number is 12? Like it's, yeah, we know, of course, like this is duh, but that's not adding any value. Like that's an insight that's not adding any value to what we're doing in this AI space. So I feel like to your point, Tommy, right? There's this concept of, you know, right now we're seeing AI do the simple things, right? AI is creating measure descriptions. It's creating measure, you know, explain this measure, explain this DAC, explain this code. That's very simple stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you took that to the next level and said, okay, if we look at a model and said, okay, if we went through this and let the AI determine, okay, these columns we think are more relevant, you know, I should be able to say to the AI, what's the data quality of this table? And it should be able to say, your probably your most reliable columns are this, this, and this. And most of your information comes here. And you have a lot of blank areas in here, right? So I think where AI should be supporting us a lot more is we should be able to ask more general questions about individual tables. And then, again, handling some of that lightweight work of like making sure we have all the simple things done. Then the AI should be able to come back and say, okay, now that we've approved all the names of descriptions on measures, tables, and columns, the AI should now be able to say, look, these columns are, you know, the one that says sales would have more weight than the one called sales key, right? So it should also get smarter in that as well. So to your point, Tommy, the AI needs more labeled data to support these are the things in the model that we think we should be caring about. Focus on those aspects of the model first and produce insights based on that information.
And I would call that a BI service moving forward. That's just going to be part of the service offering, whether it's a consultant or whether you're the centralized BI team.
That's a good point, Tommy.
It's a tool. That's what you're doing. You're just leveraging different tools.
Yeah.
But they don't care. Like, ultimately, when somebody hires you, they don't care how it's made unless you're doing the training of like developing developer, right?
Yeah.
The trainee developers or the next gen of self-service. Like, ultimately, it's just shifting a tool or leveraging something that's out there that speeds up the process, which is just more beneficial for the customer.
Oh, no. In a year from now, I'll put some money down. I'm going to be telling clients, like, hey, one of the things we do is we also weight models in some capacity. And I think that's going to be just part of the offering.
I mean,
really?
The AI's doing.
You're going to see, this is where you just lost me.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So fundamentally, this entire time, what we've been talking about is like profound expertise in the particular areas of all of the data things. And in order to vet AI and the new tools and all the things that are coming, it requires you to know what you're doing. So where you just jumped in my mind is you have all of the data science background and experience to know all of the models that are being generated, and that's going to be part of your service?
No. I don't think I said that. I think we're getting there with the technology. I think with some technology, be able to weight it, because again, we're talking about this Fabric Power BI space. We're coming in to know how to weight your models, which columns are important. I think it's things we're trying to do today.
Yeah. Okay. So you're talking about the value of data columns, et cetera. Okay.
Very much what Mike was talking about. Honestly, yeah. To Seth's point, weighting models is a term that's been around for a while around machine learning. I think I'm speaking more of where we're heading, very much to Mike's point. Okay. Cool. All right, cool. So
where, regardless of where we go, I think what we've seen so far is AI is very good around the structured things. Where are we finding value? It's in code. Where's the next steps? Mike, related to data. Well, it's going to be in the, where we're already giving structure to the AI, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
So it can read that because there's structure. Where I think we're far away from is this pie in the sky vision that many organizations, because it's the buzzword, automatically think is, I can use a chatbot to ask anything and get the right answer out of it. And I think so, that is much further away.
I would agree.
Having said that, how crucial is it to stay atop these things? I think it's imperative.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and the reason for that is we've been in this arena for a long time, and you've seen exponential increases in technology. Power BI was a game changer, right? Mm-hmm. Big shift in the market, how it was able to do all these things with the underpinning and the structure. All of those are starting to formulate, and we're already getting and talking about like the tools that are helping us speed up. I do think, I am one of mind that I think this one is a sharp jump. Like all it's going to take is, bam, the next level is here, Mike. And all of a sudden, AI does a fantastic job of categorizing and classifying your columns, like setting all the data types, building a model for you, et cetera, et cetera. And you have to be up to speed and engaged here to understand when those spikes happen, because that's where I think the fastest to accelerate in organizations that are plugged in to wanting to engage in leveraging AI to gain better, faster something.
Mm-hmm.
I think there will be those sort of leaps and bounds, and those that are riding that curve are probably going to reap the most benefit and put themselves out farther ahead than other technology advances before. Because if you think about it, if we're talking about structuring our data, pulling it all together, using Fabric, pulling these, you know, leveraging what we have, implementing the things that work and are speeding time, we're already familiar with this ecosystem. All we have to do is go figure out how to plug that new spike in versus companies that aren't, or individuals that aren't engaged in the AI conversation and what its offerings are through the different tools, there will be a point where they're scrambling. They're trying to figure out, like, oh my gosh, how do I get to the point where everybody's been that has been riding this real curve? And that's where, like, I'm one of those guys that I think you're the further out on this wave you are versus the way things have been done in the past, where a lot of organizations don't ride that front wave. I think R&D in this area is absolutely one of the best investments you can make.
To briefly emphasize that, Seth, I'm fully expecting, or putting the skills, experience, documentation now around by the end of this year, I'm either writing a contract or talking with someone about prompt engineering, that word's going to be coming up in a contract. At least I'm setting myself up that way, because I think there's too much convergence. There's too much overlap between what's happening now and what we do in business intelligence. And that may be somewhat of a segue, I think, with Fabric. And I know we're running a little low on time, but man alive, we're seeing so many other things with Fabric too, where I can't call it a product. It's 7 products.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think this is one of the neat things. So we've been saying this, I think, for a while now on the podcast, and I would agree very much with your comment there, Tommy. It's like, we are looking at Fabric. It's not just... there's too many thoughts in my head. I'm sorting out thoughts here. Fabric is the collection of all the years of knowledge of Microsoft building other data tools, right? So Pipelines is Azure Data Factory. You know, Synapse brought right over. So Spark and Synapse and a lot of the other notebook writing, SQL serverless, the SQL analytics endpoint. A lot of those things are just lifts of other stuff that Microsoft has already built and is in the cloud already. So to that point, like, great. Now it's all in one tool where I pay one license fee and I get all the things and I use them how I need to for my business. So one, it's hyper flexible, but I think it's just great. Where I think this fits with AI now and how this lives in this new context with now Fabric is, I think we're going to have business users show up. Business users are showing up with their existing skills in Power Query. And I would argue they're doing data engineering. They're just doing it in Excel and a non- repeatable ways or a little bit extra work, right? What we're now giving them with Fabric or Power BI is a better way to automate some of those data movement things. And so we now have the ability of bringing a whole bunch of business users that are being, hey, I just used to build reports and I used to build very simple models or even complex models, but I didn't have all the tooling to simplify my model and push that upstream. Now we have the ability to actually do Roach's Maxim, which is transform the data further upstream and produce the tables we actually need to simplify our data models. So I think the right path here is look at all the business users showing up to Fabric, educate them on better data engineering because it exists. Yeah. And, you know, start with data flows, work your way knowledge-wise into pipelines, then start learning notebooks. That, to me, that's a great progression because it's becoming more and more code-based as you go down that path. Then once we have a pool of business users turned data engineers, now we start having the ability of, okay, now what? Oh, like, well, we already have the tools available to us to start doing, AI or predictive things. And so now those same business users turned data engineers can now start doing lightweight data science work. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen all out of the gate, but I think there's a progression here of people liking what they do, continuing to pushing in more, learning more and things, because the tooling is not quite good enough yet for data scientists and data engineers to come over to Fabric yet. I think it'll get better. Give it some time. I think there'll be more useful use cases in the future, and then we'll do a better job of making all the feature-rich things we need to bring those people in. But right now, I see it as bring business users in, educate, train, and give them more capability than they ever had before.
Mike, you raise a very heavy question, a very interesting question in what you said, and I'm intrigued really to get both of your guys' opinions. With Fabric, if it is seven products that have existed that have been full-time jobs for a lot of people individually, yep. Is the expectation, whether for the consultant or for the FTE,
I see you're going
expert, to be an expert in each of these products in Fabric, is that going to be a requirement or an expectation? I mean,
I think it's going to be. So I'll say it this way: as a company looking at other people, I think when you see the word Fabric and now that there are so many other tools inside there, I think the expectation is you're looking for consultants who know all the things about all those parts of the Fabric. I'm not sure we've had enough runtime on Fabric. And there's been some new products that have shown up that have not been anywhere else, like KQL, Kusto. They have existed kind of in Azure, but maybe your mileage will vary if people have experience with them yet. You know, Data Activator, kind of a net new thing. Yes, it kind of feels like Azure Event Hubs and, there is some borrowed principles from other things that are existing. But at the end of the day, like, I feel like you're hiring a company and the company needs to have the complete skill set of what's going on there. And then give it some more time. People will actually have more exposure to doing lots of projects across all those different things. So I think it's not a good assumption for companies to say, I'm going to hire a person and they will know everything. I think that's a very misguided assumption. I think you may have to hire a company that has multiple people that know all the things, right? There's hey, I've got a guy for the data engineering. Hey, I have a person to help you, incrementally load this data. There's patterns that we've developed over time that help us load these things into our lakehouse, right? So I think you need to have, again, if you're hiring someone, who has a team of people that have all the knowledge I think you would need to bring that tech stack forward. But I think companies are going to continue to assume they can hire the person and they will know all of Fabric. And I think that's a misnomer.
I would agree with you and in the future probably disagree. And the only reason is, so in the same way, the expertise is going to be needed to shape organized data. So we think, right? But even to your point, Mike, shouldn't AI be able to model and create measures and do all the things? Yes. So I think do you need to be an expert in it all right now? Absolutely. You absolutely need to have an expert that understands how to ingest, transform, integrate, shape data, et cetera, build semantic models, all of that still absolutely required. In the future, no. Because I think if we talk about the same things as far as like the tooling getting better and better and better and better, Fabric is an ecosystem that is it hard to imagine that all what were all of these services all of a sudden now play in a space where a not technically technical trained user, right, can create solutions from end to end. I think that is a very real possibility. So do they need to be an expert in all those areas to produce something for the business? No. Do you still need the expert to vet what they build? Yeah.
Yes. Right?
Like,
I agree.
You would want that, but
yes.
But in terms of democratizing data and the solutions, like in an organization, you're bringing that sort of self-service to people who want to solve these problems on their own. And I think eventually, is there a world where I believe that this this service and ecosystem provides that? I think the technical capabilities are absolutely there. And the paths that we're already seeing to get there are in motion. I just don't know what the future means. Is that 2 years? Is it 5 years? I don't know, right? But at the same time, that's what's very compelling to me about Fabric is if I take what I know about AI and I take like all of my understanding of what I see, how it's helpful, the things that, you know, Microsoft is doing, they like, obviously I'm a Microsoft fanboy. I don't go study other solutions out there, but like it is very compelling. And I think all of what they're building in terms of the building blocks lead me to believe that this is going to be one of the premier, if not the premier analytics tool that's going to be fastest to market with AI and all the things.
And I think that's the gray area. And kind of my last thoughts around
Alex is saying 12 months max. 12 months? Powers, cool. MSFT. Cool. Now, is he speaking for Microsoft? I don't know, right? But
put it on the board.
It's in the chat.
It's in the chat. My last thoughts is I think that's the greatest area, Seth, is again, Fabric is not just as much as it is seven individual products. The big selling point, what Microsoft's really trying to do is it's like data engineering for everyone. It's yes. The self-service side around these tools. So maybe the requirement or the skill is not so much having that data engineering expert just come in and fix everything, because maybe it's more around helping each individual department set up their own ecosystem, because that's what Microsoft's really trying to sell. It's not just we have Synapse and a different user interface. It's we have all of our data in a centralized place for each department. And I think to me, Seth, that's kind of the grayest area that I see where does the consultant fit, or where does that specialized skill sit for an organization around Fabric?
Yeah. And I think that remains to be seen as things shift. Specifically for my closing comment to this question about what the future of business intelligence consulting is, I think it's wide open. I as long as you're sticking to the advancements in AI, I don't believe it's going to strictly be like the more AI becomes prevalent, the more business intelligence roles completely just go into data engineering. I don't believe that, because you still need the skills to work with and understand what the business needs are. So you're vetting the outputs as well. So are you doing a lot of engineering and integration work? Probably, but in different ways. Like I think it's just the tool sets that we work with that are going to shift, and our priorities could potentially even sit further with the business to say, hey man, it only took me a week to build this whole thing. Now let's spend a week and really dial this in, as opposed to, hey, it took me a week and 4 days to build this whole thing, and now I have a day to sit with you and make sure it's dialed in, right? The refinement of really great outputs and analytical insights, I think, is where eventually you could spend a lot more time. But yeah, I mean, in terms of where I think the future of BI consulting is, I think it's bright.
I would agree with that one as well. I think Christian made a comment in the chat a little while ago that said he sees it being in twofold areas. There is new users showing up needing a little bit of help. AI can support that. And then there's those medium and advanced users where there's a lot of repetitive tasks that are going to have to be done over and over and over again. It can help with that too. And I think right now where I see the landscape of AI and internal consulting or external consulting, like it's not going to replace them. It's definitely not going to take away that knowledge skill. However, I think it will supplement a lot of the needs there, and it would be wise for consultants and companies to understand what is AI, how can I leverage this stuff for what we're trying to produce in our company, and it will shorten the time from I have a problem and I need to deliver a solution. I think we're going to continue seeing that timeline from statement of problem to completion of solution continue to shrink further and further and further as more and more AI becomes more and more useful and either does the hey, I'm solving those simple little problems over and over again, or it's actually providing bigger analysis efforts and shortening that up as well. I think your point there at the end, Seth, was really spot on. I agree. I think that's where this is going to go. So I'm very like it. I like what's going on. I think it's going to be great. I'm excited to see where Microsoft takes this and how it gets developed. There's probably a lot more things to think about here that we're not even touching on yet. But again, we don't know what we don't know. So we'll see where AI is going to continue to fall on the spectrum of consulting.
Mike, anyways. I very like it too. So,
well, probably they're going to just take all of our podcast, funnel it through an AI algorithm, and it'll just, yeah, that'll just be the output.
That's going to be the eighth product by Fabric. Yeah.
We should make the explicit measures AI to analyze your internal company policies and process. So that would be interesting. Anyways, with that all said, I appreciate everyone's time here. Thank you so much for listening. This has been a great discussion. Also, the chat has been very lively today. Thank you so much, chat, for jumping in. We had a ton of people on chat just having great comments. So thank you so much. Appreciate all that. And our only ask is, if you like this content, if this felt interesting, engaging, you like the conversation that was happening here, please share it with somebody else. Let somebody else know you like this video. We'd love it if you would share this video and put your comments below. Hey, I found this interesting because of XYZ things, or this is ringing true for me, or I totally disagree with this. Like, this is how I see it. We'd love to have more feedback across the community around what you think about our topics and what's going on in your head related to particularly AI. Tommy, where else can you find the podcast?
You can find us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to subscribe and leave a rating. It helps us out a ton. Do you have a question, an idea, or a topic that you want us to talk about in a future episode like we did today? Head over to powerbi.tips/podcast. Leave your name and a great question. Finally, join us live every Tuesday and Thursday, 7:30 a.m. and join the conversation on all of powerbi.tips social media channels.
Awesome. Thank you all so much, and we'll see you next time.